This is ReConversations. Welcome to this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate, powered by NNN Pro Group, the market leading investment sales and advisory team. In this exclusive miniseries, Crexie visited ICSC Recon live in Las Vegas from the floor of the convention center at the NNN Pro Group's booth to sit down with movers and shakers in all things commercial real estate. Our mission? Investigate trends, educate listeners, and uncover ground-level insights into the latest industry news. With ReConversations, the Crexie Podcast hopes to provide next-level access into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you all for joining us for this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm your host, Giannis Papadakis, and this is ReConversations, delivering next level insights and expertise live from the NNN Pro Group's booth here on the floor of ICSC's Recon 2023. And we are thrilled to be sitting down with Rob Walters, owner and principal at Quattro Development. A little bit about our guest. Rob Walters spent his first 3 years in real estate business at Insight Real Estate Development in Oak Brook, Illinois, focused on acquiring land sites for development and leasing small shop retail space. In 3 years, he developed 12 projects in 4 states. In addition to these developments, he signed leases and built relationships with many retailers, including Chipotle, FedEx, Kinko's, T-Mobile, All Care Dental and Dentures, Duckwall Alco, Sprint, Potbelly Sandwich Works, and Starbucks. Rob left Insight in April of 2007 to start Astro Real Estate Development, which was the precursor to Quattro Development LLC. His current venture that is solely focused on small shop retail built-to-suit projects nationwide. Quattro endeavors to be the premier developer of small shop retail space in the country. Rob graduated from the University of Illinois Urbana. Sorry, let's take that one more time. Rob graduated from the University of Illinois Urbana Champaign's College of Business with a finance degree. Rob also served in the National Guard as an officer and is currently active as a founder of First Chance, a not-for-profit organization that sends lower-income inner-city high school students on study and volunteer abroad opportunities. Rob, first, thank you for your service.
Of course, you're welcome.
And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So how's your show been?
It's been busy. Came in Saturday morning, and I don't think I've stopped meeting people since. So I'm about ready to be done, but it's been very productive.
Excellent. Well, before we kind of jump into the nitty-gritty of retail, tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got into commercial real estate.
Sure. So I grew up in a town called DeKalb, Illinois. It's the home of Northern Illinois University, also where Barbed Wire was founded and where Cindy Crawford's from. So.
All right. Some nice claims to fame there.
Yeah. Put DeKalb on the map. I went down to University of Illinois and was also in the Army at the same time. Went down to University of Illinois about 2 weeks before 9/11 happened. After getting out of basic training, 9/11 happens and I get deployed to Germany. I had to leave. So I was doing school and the Army at the same time. It was hard to find a job. And a fraternity brother of mine's dad, I got to know, who had a development company, and he noticed that I like to run and read, and he said, that's the type of person I want, gave me an opportunity, and I got a job there at Insight right out of college, and that was, you know, how I got into the real estate business. So I guess a quick fast forward, spent most of my life in Chicago, started Quattro in 2007, 2008 with my partner, Mike Lyos, and yeah, we've grown to do over 150 projects in 31 states. You know, around 2-acre, 3-acre developments on the smaller side, build to suits. We have a team of about 11 people now. And, 2 years ago I moved to New York City. The rest of the company's in Chicago still, but, I'm loving life in Manhattan.
Ah, that's excellent. So what is your specific focus and why did you choose that?
Well, I mean, I have to give the credit to the guy who taught me. Jerry Castelny is the founder of Insight, and he had done a lot of blockbuster video build-to-suits back when, you know, they were everywhere. And so I just saw the concept where you have the tenant, you know, in hand first, take so much risk away versus having an idea and hoping they come. So it wasn't like I was a genius. I just saw a good model, and I thought I could do, you know, my own tweaks, make it a little bit better. And so that's what we've been focused on, is really, you know, the tenant relationship. We're really good on the real estate, the dirt dogging side, but having it start with a tenant who's telling you, you know, this is where we want to be and you just have to execute, it really gets rid of a lot of the brain damage when you're constantly changing your plan because you don't know who your tenants are, and that kind of thing.
And then I think you may have already answered this one, but who are some of your mentors along the way?
Oh, boy. I'm just going to throw out one name because he's one of the best guys I've met in the business, a guy, Peter Borzak, with Pine Tree Real Estate. He's doesn't necessarily do what I did, but he grew up in the business doing development in a lot of smaller markets like we've kind of operated in. When I say smaller, you know, I don't mean tiny markets, but not necessarily, you know, the Miamis and the Los Angeles. But just the way that he has built his company, the way that he is willing to give time to anybody, you know, open to teaching others kind of behind him, has been really special. You know, another guy, I live just a few blocks from Glenn Kanofsky here. You mentioned Triple Net Pro Group. And I mean, just a guy who's been, you know, as accomplished as anybody in our space. So those two guys are definitely role models of mine.
And then what were some lessons that you learned early on that became invaluable going forward?
I think, you know, the biggest thing for us and our success, I believe, is just being putting the tenant first. So not feeling like as a landlord, I have to be on the other side from them all the time. Obviously, we're collecting their rent and I want to get as much rent in the best terms as I can get. But at the same time, I think you can make more money doing lots of projects with the same group over and over. So you might not make quite as much on any given deal, but it's about knowing you're going to get, you know, more and more and people are going to come back to you. And, you know, if one tenant's happy, they tell the next one. And if that tenant needs a developer to help them expand across the country, now you're word of mouth. You're not having to cold call people. Business starts coming in, you know, your way. But I think it just starts with putting the tenant first and being a true partnership to say, what matters to us is not just making money, but it's make sure that you get the locations you want open on time, on the budget, you know, that it needed to be, and that the process is smooth. And if there's a problem, we're not going to fight about it, or, you know, we can get on the phone, talk through things. Sometimes we got to give up something we want. Sometimes the tenant does, but, you know, when it's a relationship, it really does matter. I think that's been a lot of our success.
And then do you have any favorite mistakes that you made along the way or moments that course corrected you onto your current path that at the time, maybe you didn't recognize as opportunities?
I mean, I think one thing that I wish if I could go back, I've been doing this with Quattro for 16 years, it's probably learn a little bit more about the construction side of things. I like to stay in my lane and do what I know, and that's not necessarily my strong suit. But there's been times along the way that, you know, if I would have had a little bit more knowledge in that, I might have prevented some issues. So most of our, you know, biggest challenges that we've had throughout the years have come down to permitting and then construction problems. So I think just, I would tell anybody who wants to get into development, it's easy to overlook the little details, and maybe it doesn't have to be, you know, you specifically, but somebody on your team's got to be checking all those little details or they can grow to big problems. So we have a checklist of everything that needs to happen in a development deal, from like identifying the property to, you know, closing it out on the back end. And it's probably, you know, 100 plus steps that you got to take. And I wish I would have had those 100 steps, you know, early on, but that's what we're here to do, is learn. So
yeah, I mean, it takes a career to learn what those 100 steps, you know, what the 98th one is, and, you know, something happens, you're like, all right, let's add a step, right? So getting into the reason everybody's here, retail. Actually, I'm going to take it back. Tell us a little bit more about Quattro Development, your project ethos and vision. You know, what kind of clientele do you work with?
Sure. It's funny. We used to say we're a retail build-to-suit developer, but just that word retail has changed. Now it's thankfully a little bit more in vogue to say you're doing retail. For a couple of years there, people thought you were crazy. But the reality is, anybody who's willing to sign a longer-term lease, oftentimes when we're done with a project, we're going to turn around and sell it using like a group like Triple Net Pro to an investor, and that's how we make our money. So, you know, a group that's willing to sign a long-term lease that's going to be valuable and that knows what they want. So typically the tenants we're working for are very selective in the type of real estate they want. And I think I like working with those tenants, one, because we're developing good real estate, but also we're really good at finding real estate, you know, that other people overlook. Like if a tenant wants to be at a certain corner and we can't get the corners, we'll go every single property off it, talk to every property owner until we're too far off the corner where they'd never do the project. And I think tenants really like appreciate that about us, and we're not brokers. We don't take any fees for it. It's just part of our building that relationship.
What does the current landscape of retail development look like?
So I'd say the number one thing, you know, that you talk to any developer right now, it's construction costs. Not only are they high, they're very hard to pin down. So you were asking about kind of mistakes earlier, and I don't know the exact answer yet, but it's like, you know, how do you budget early on enough a number that you can trust, you know, that when you go to close and build the thing, you're on that budget and not way over it. In the last few years, it's been difficult. I think in 2001, coming out of COVID, there was such a drop in cap rates that a lot of guys, you know, might have been building to a 8% yield, but the construction cost, you know, brought them down to 7% with cost overruns. But the cap rate went from a 6% to a 5%. So they ended up essentially, you know, making the same amount of money. Now it doesn't work that way because the cap rates seem to be inching up a little bit. And there's a certain point where, you know, tenants can only pay so much with their business model and be affordable. So I might say I need $80 a square foot for this Starbucks build-to-suit, but if it doesn't work in their pro forma, then it doesn't work. And I can't keep ratcheting my returns down because the cap rates are kind of coming up. So I feel like something has to give. It's just a matter of, you know, what is that? Is it construction and land costs start to come down a little bit? Do interest rates finally start to come down? And maybe that relieves some of the pressure on the cap rates going up. I'm not sure, but I think that's what everybody's trying to figure out, right?
So I've got a couple of general questions for you. In respect to your experience, what are the biggest trends you're seeing in commercial real estate right now?
You know, there's a lot of probably macro things that other people are better to speak to, but sort of in our niche with this build-to-suit development is more and more tenants want us to build, you know, their TI, their build-out into the budget. So essentially we're paying for it and they're paying for it in rent. I think part of that actually probably has to do with the cost of capital has gone up for everybody. So if before, you know, you're a tenant and you could get money for 3% on a line of credit, maybe you spend your own money to go build out, you know, the restaurant. But now I think they're saying, hey, Quattro, don't just give us a shell. I want to have a turnkey, you know, building and we'll pay the rent for it. So I'm seeing that, you know, as a trend for sure. Obviously, I think on the tenant side, schools are big business right now with millennials kind of getting to that age where their kids need daycare and different things. And then just, you know, the medical going to more of a retail environment, kind of coming off the hospital campus. We have a lot of work going on with groups like that that want a smaller footprint. And I think we'll continue to see that with, you know, the aging demographic.
So what are some of the biggest challenges facing the commercial real estate industry today?
Yeah, so I don't think, you know, I'm going to take office out of it. That's not something I do as much, and I don't know. But on the, I'll call it retail, net lease, you know, build-to-suit, it's kind of dovetails into what I was talking about before. Like, we're all in this to make money at the end of the day. Our tenants have to make money doing what they're doing. We have to make money on the real estate projects. But on the development side, when we're going to get a loan, you know, and your interest rate for construction loans at 8.5%, 9.5%, 10%, you have negative leverage on your, you know, project going into it. Most likely not many people are doing, you know, a 20-year Chipotle deal or a 15-year Chipotle deal at a 10% return. It's just not happening. So a lot of people are in that situation where we're continuing to develop, but you're really assuming that down the road, you know, somebody's going to pay a cap rate of, you know, whatever it is you need to get out. And that's just a difficult situation. You know, I've been in the business for, I don't know, 18, 19 years. And it's always been a environment with relatively low interest rates. So this is my first time going through it. I think it'll pass, but it's just, it's scary when you build a building knowing that, like, hey, if I had to go get permanent debt on this right now, like, I'd either have to put a ton of equity into the project or I'd have negative, you know, cash flow. And I don't think anybody wants that. So how long does that work? You know, what do you do instead? Luckily, there's a lot of new lenders have come with new products, non-bank groups that are saying, like, we'll, you know, lend you pretty high up the capital stack. It might be a little bit higher interest rate, but they're looking at it and just saying, do you have the spread between your return on cost going into the, you know, project to the cap rate? You can sell it on the back side. And if they think it's there, you know, they'll do the loan regardless of what the return on cost is. And that's filled a void that sort of is meeting the challenge that you asked about.
So I got a couple of rapid fire questions for you before we wrap up. If you were given $50 million today and you had to spend it immediately, what would you buy, where, and why?
That's a good question. I would try to identify larger retail assets that had strong peripheral land that maybe didn't have like reciprocal easement agreements that were going to prohibit you from redeveloping it. But I think there's just so much demand in a lot of these big parking lots where, you know, so many people are making the money on the front part of their shopping centers, not the back. So, you know, if you can get a, buy a shopping center for a 7-8 cap, and now you can carve off a couple of pads in the front and ground lease one to Chick-fil-A and, you know, value that for $3 million. I think you could get to a point where the cash flow on sort of the traditional retail could be really high by decreasing your basis, you know, selling off some of the peripheral stuff. So I think that's what I'd go out looking for. And we've been to 50 states. I've been to every trade area in the country, developed in 30 of them. So I think our ability to like pick and choose then from a short list of, you know, those types of opportunities, which ones are best. And I think that's what I'd go try to do and build some long-term cash flow.
Favorite tool or software that you use on the job?
Gosh, this is kind of funny, but I remember getting in the business and trying to find ownership for properties, and we'd have to go to the county courthouse and scan the plat books. And we literally bought a scan pen at one point, which, you know, sounds ancient. But now, you know, whether it be like a title company like First American, they have these sort of online parcel maps with all this ownership group, or there's some other private groups that are doing that. I use that software a lot to just see how big something is, who owns it. It's so quick to be able to gather information that used to take us, you know, weeks to put together. You might physically have to go to that town to figure out who owns a property. Now it's 5 seconds. So, you know, and there's, I use different ones. I don't necessarily want to plug different companies on the.
You know, Crexie has ownership information.
Crexie, exactly.
Now,
and we've been using that lately.
We've got ownership information and a lot of times emails and phone numbers as well. And
I would
go check it out and, you know, take the Pepsi challenge, so to speak, the Crexie challenge, so to speak, and, you know, match it up against what you're currently using.
Definitely. I know my junior guys have been using it a lot and saying positive things. So,
that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And then what's a highlight transaction that you've worked on with the NNN Pro Group?
Oh, boy. Highlight one. Interesting. I'd say, you know, the highlight for me with them was going through COVID. We had done a lot of work with a tenant called Guidepost Montessori. And, you know, challenging time for a school. You can't be in the facilities. But they were able to help us sell a few of those kind of in the dregs of COVID that, you know, it was just phenomenal. There wasn't a lot of demand in the market at the time. So I think about specifically one in like Marlboro, Massachusetts, that we bought and sold in a matter of a couple months at a really nice cap rate. I think the buyer's very happy. He's getting a good return for 20 years. We made really good money quickly, and it was in a really difficult time. So I was really thankful for the job they did on that.
Awesome. And then what's the most common misconception about your job or industry?
I mean, there's so many stereotypes that I think are, you know, right. Like, I'll be honest.
Give me some.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. Like, you know, we hosted a dinner last night. We had 30 people. I have two daughters. At my dinner, there was 30 guys. You know, that's in hindsight, it's a little unfortunate. How am I supposed to expect my daughter to kind of think she can do anything if, you know, I'm not inviting other people? So there's a lot of, it is kind of male, you know, driven. There's a lot of egos. But there's a lot of really good people too. A lot of my friends, my good friends now, are people that I also work with. And, you know, when you're pretty busy and you have kids and hobbies, to have your friends and your work colleagues be, you know, one and the same, I'd just say, don't judge commercial real estate people by, you know, a boiler room or a movie you watched, because there's some good people out there too. So,
okay. As we wrap up, any parting words you'd like to share with our audience?
No, thanks for listening. And I think it's been a tough last 12 months in commercial real estate, but, you know, cycles come and go. And I think just hang in there for as long as it takes, and there'll be greener pastures here, I think, in the future.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And let's see, if people want to get in touch with you, is there a best way? Email, website, socials?
So our website's www.quattrodevelopment.com, which is Q-U-A-T-T-R-O. And my email is rob@quattrodevelopment.com. If you email me, I promise I'll respond, as long as it doesn't go to my trash. So thank you.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's Reconversations, powered by NNN Pro Group. A special shout out and thanks to our friends at the NNN Pro Group for hosting us at their booth this week at ICSC. As mentioned earlier, NNN Pro Group is the market leading net lease investment sales and advisory team in the country. To learn more, you can visit their website at nnnpro.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Subscribe to the Crexy Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexy for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.